You're running and you're challenging Bill Huizinga in Michigan's 2nd Congressional District. We'll get to that in a second. But first, let me ask you this. I gave a quick bio. Who is Dean Vanderstelt? So people who it's still pretty early since your announcement.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people need to realize that, as you said, I am a lifelong resident of the area. My family lives here. I have two children and three beautiful grandchildren that also live in the 2nd Congressional District. Being a lifelong resident of the area, I've got to know a lot of the people here, a lot of the issues here, and I think they bring that into the race as well.
Outstanding. And, of course, I always open the phone lines. If you have a question for Dean, you can always reach us here in the studio at 395-1450. And I went on your website. I saw some of your media and some of the reasons that you decided to run. But why run now?
Well, I think it's important that we bring into this race the other viewpoint of what needs to be done to solve the problems in America. And right now, with all that's going on in Congress, with the gridlock that's there, with the entrenchment that the Republicans have brought into Congress, things aren't getting done. And Americans and people in West Michigan are looking for solutions and are looking for their representatives to help fix the problems.
Dean, of course, you're running as a Democrat, but specifically, you're not just a Democrat. How would you classify your party alignment?
I would say, yes, I'm a Democrat. I'm fairly moderate, very moderate on financial issues. I tend to lean a little bit more towards the left on social issues, but not too far to the extreme.
Mm-hmm. And one of the main things, and of course I know you know that this is coming, this question, a Democrat in Michigan's 2nd Congressional District, the last Democrat to win was in 1965, a gentleman by the name of Winston Vivian. Is that daunting to you?
It is in a way, but also I'm not looking backwards as much as I'm looking forward. Things have changed in the district, and I think there are a lot of people that really want the change that I'm proposing, and not just the Democrats that you would expect, but there's also, I think, a fair number of moderate Republicans that are looking at what's going on in Washington and say, that's not my party, they're not representing me like I really expect them to, and they themselves want change.
Mm-hmm. I saw a study or a story not too long ago about President Obama's approval ratings and how they're very low. But then at the end of the story, it showed Congress's approval ratings were hovering around the single digits. I mean, that's all-time low numbers. Why do you think things have gotten so bad, the perception of things have gotten so bad?
Well, I think, you know, and yes, the approval rating is hovering around 9%. You're right, it's in single digits. And I think it's gotten to the point where it's all ideology rather than solutions. You know, we as citizens of West Michigan and also of America, we want solutions. We send congressmen to work to do a job in Washington and not to get entrenched in purely ideological arguments and refuse to do the business that they're sent there to do.
Okay, so what are the things you would do differently that Bill Huizinga is doing?
Well, I'll tell you things that I wouldn't do.
Okay.
I surely wouldn't vote to shut down the government. I surely wouldn't vote to keep it shut down once it's shut down. You know, there's some estimates that caused $24 billion worth of damage to the economy. I surely wouldn't do that. Second thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't vote to stop paying the country's bills. You know, if you're a congressman, you're passing legislation, and you're expecting the president, then as the chief executive officer, if you will, to execute those laws, but not to pay for what you passed, it makes no sense. That's mm-hmm. not responsible.
What are some things that you disagree with that you don't like from what Bill Huizinga has done in his past? I know we kind of just touched on this, but more specifically, some things that Bill has done that you don't like.
Well, I look at some of the votes that have occurred, and I look at how those affect people in West Michigan, people in not just the 2nd Congressional District, but people all across Michigan. You know, voting not to help with nutrition assistance when there's such a high percentage of people in the district in certain areas that are hungry, children are hungry. People are struggling. They are struggling just to keep their head above water. And I look at vote after vote after vote that not only don't they don't help those people, but they actually cause more harm than good.
What are some things that you would do here in Holland? I think is a question many of our listeners would want to know specifically in this city.
Well, I think one of the things that people all across the area, including here in Holland, are looking for is what are we going to do to get the economy back working for the average person? You know, what can we do to create jobs? What can we do to create jobs that are what I call quality jobs that pay a decent wage mm-hmm. so that people can afford to take care of their families? You know, they've got expenses, whether it's housing, food, whatever the case may be, they're just looking for some fair treatment out of Washington.
If you have a question for Dean Vanderstelt, you can always reach us here. 395-1450 is the number to call us here in the studio. And I, again, like I said, I've got a brief bio of you, and it could not be 100% accurate, but do you have any political background? I mean, is that a question that you think will be troublesome for voters to want to vote for you with your lack of experience?
You know, it's interesting. No, I have never run for public office before. I've worked my way up in a company as an executive, retiring as an executive in a Fortune 500 company. That brings to me with me a very good business experience, a very good knowledge of how to get along with people, how to solve problems. But no, I don't have a lifelong career in politics, and in some cases I think that's a plus.
Mm-hmm. So you think that if you bring in a fresh perspective from the outside and kind of get away from the politics of Congress, you might be able to help change some of the issues that are going on.
That's right. I don't think I'm not entrenched in the political perspective, if we will. It's more in the solution perspective. What do we need to do to solve the problems?
Now, you mentioned to me the bipartisans and how important it is to be able to go across the aisle and work with some of the other people in the party. And now, a lot of candidates run on that, and sometimes we don't see always that follow through. How can we know that that's going to happen if you get elected?
Well, I think there's a big difference between saying what you're going to do and demonstrating that you've done it.
Yeah.
You know, with 34 years in business and actually solving problems, getting things done, some very difficult things, and actually accomplishing those, the experience that comes with it, showing that I know how to do that, I've done that, and the success that I've achieved in business is a demonstration of that.
Let's take a look at some of the national issues that are going on. Of course, the issue with the Crimea and Ukraine. Some people are criticizing the way President Obama has handled the situation, and Secretary of State John Kerry. How do you feel about how that situation has been handled?
Well, I think they're taking the right first steps on that. But, you know, this is a community of the world problem. A lot of people, a lot of countries need to be engaged, and it's not just America. And, you know, I'm not a person that thinks that the first solution is a military solution. You know, I know a young man named Jeremy that he's in the Army. He's active Army right now. And I sure as heck don't want to send him over to deal with what essentially right now is a territorial issue, to send him to war. I don't want to see people end up dying in a situation where we haven't exhausted all other possibilities to solve the problem first.
You grew up in a home with a single mother, and one of the things that I saw in your bio is having to work at an early age. Do you think that's something that people here in West Michigan will be able to connect with?
Yeah, I think so. When people learn more about me, that I think what they'll find out is that I'm not much different than themselves. You know, I did grow up. My mother was a single parent. She worked two and sometimes three jobs in order to take care of the family. Us kids worked. We worked actually, myself, in farm fields, picking fruits and vegetables in order to help with family expenses. I think what they'll find is that in a lot of ways I can understand their situation because I lived it.
Yeah. And you're from, like we said already, you're from the Muskegon area. You've lived in Norton Shores, which oddly enough is where my girlfriend's family lives right now. She goes to school actually at U of M in Ann Arbor. But that's a city that we've seen consistently vote blue. But for the most part, the rest of this area has consistently been a red state. Why do you think now gives you a good chance to be elected in a district that has always voted red?
Well, let me share with you just some of the comments that we've met with an awful lot of people in the area. And it's interesting the comments you get even from people that consider themselves Republicans. What they'll say to me is, well, I've always been a Republican, but you know what? I'm not so sure anymore. In fact, some people say, well, I'm an independent now, mm-hmm. not necessarily Republican. So I say to them, why is that? And they said, well, have you seen what they're doing? And I think that's pervasive across the area, is that people are starting to, like me, wake up and look and see what's happening in Congress and see what their representatives are doing, and they don't like it.
What are some of your thoughts on some of the other leaders? I know, once again, you're challenging Bill in the same district, but thoughts on Justin Amash? I know he's been kind of under fire lately.
Yeah, he has, and that's one of the things that concerns me, and I think it concerns a lot of people, is it's gotten to the point that the party, the Republican Party, has swung so far to the right, have been characterized by some as zealots, as going so far to the right that they don't really represent the majority of the people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very small vocal minority.
Well, we are running out of time here, Dean. I appreciate you joining us this morning on 1450 WHTC. And you got yourself a busy day. You're off to Grand Rapids and doing some other things. But like you mentioned before, we're on the air. It's always a busy day for you. And
right.
But again, thanks for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.